something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, Baptism, Communion, and the Church.
Hallelujah. I know that many people think that the term to be baptized in the Holy Ghost means when you receive the Holy Spirit. But that's not really true. In Scripture, that's not true. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost is actually when you're born again. That's when you're baptized into the Holy Ghost. Receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the Holy Ghost are not the same. When you're born again, according to the Scriptures, is when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you see it? And then you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the second experience, is to receive the Holy Spirit into you. The first experience is when the Holy Ghost receives you into Him. That's when you're born again. You're baptized into Christ. You're baptized into God. You see, that's when you're baptized. If any man be in Christ.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read verse 13 so you can see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles? Did you see that? So by the Holy Ghost, are we baptized into one body? What body is that? Christ. The body of Christ. When you were born again, you were baptized by the Holy Ghost into Christ. Are you following this? Very important. On the day of Pentecost, they were born again that day and also received the Holy Spirit to live in them that day. It has happened to many people. The same day they're born again, same day they receive the Holy Ghost. Some people wait. They don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. They're like the ones in Ephesus. They never even heard about the Holy Ghost. So they say, well, I don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Then maybe some months later, maybe some years later, then they receive the Holy Ghost. See, so being born again is actually, according to the Scripture, if you study the Scripture, you discover this. That is when you are baptized into the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost, into Christ, into God. John calls it being in God. And he distinguishes being in God from God being in you. You see that? You are born again, you're in God. See? Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, we say. But that's because we get to learn about Him. He begins His actual ministry as the third of the three. But in reality, He's the first to be revealed. In the Scriptures, right in Genesis, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God. It says, Elohim created the world, that created the heavens and the earth. And Elohim is plural of God. It's plural. But then it says, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. He's the first to be shown to us in the Godhead. Praise the Lord. But He's the last of the three to begin His ministry, or to carry out His ministry. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and He shall send you another Comforter. even the Spirit of truth. Then on the day of Pentecost, he came to begin his work of leading the church. There's something I want to tell you about the Holy Ghost. I really hope we can get there. Very important. I hope we can get there. But, okay, you're getting this stuff. Very important. I'll just look at something here in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 38, just to show you something. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Did you notice? They both went where? Into the water. I'm giving you an example. And then he baptized him. They both went into the water. He baptized him in the water. He didn't take a cup of water from the tap and pour on his head. Say, you are now baptized. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, so baptism is very important. Water baptism I'm talking about. Water baptism. But we did say there's a teaching about baptisms. The first baptism is the Holy Ghost baptism, being baptized of the Spirit, and that is being born again. Okay? And I gave you a shadow of what was to come from Moses and the children of Israel. I gave you a shadow of that. And after that baptism, which is likened to being baptized into Christ, by which you become a Christian, now you're born again, then you go for water baptism. And you are baptized. It is your testimony of your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus and you've been baptized to prove that you believe in it, he says you must now live accordingly. Live in newness of life. Have a new life. I'm a child of God. I've been baptized in water. It's my testimony. Baptism is a testimony of your faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. It is a testimony. Praise God. All right. Now, here's another important thing. I said the communion. You know, every month, because that's the most convenient for us. The Bible didn't say do it every month. All right? But that's the most convenient for us. Now, we want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I do read this to you every communion service. Communion is important. A lot of times you have those who think, well, will you be in the communion service? I'm not sure whether I'm going to come or not. Where are you going? You have this appointment with a friend. Is it so important? That communion that's only once a month, you can make it? Is it such a light thing to you? From verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus said to do it in remembrance of him. Oh, this is my body which is broken for you, he says. Do this in remembrance. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. He says it's shed for many for the remission of sins. The cup of the New Testament. Why is this so important? It is the testimony of the gospel. It is the testimony of the New Testament, the new will. God's new will. The baptism, we said, is a testimony of my salvation, my faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, the communion is my testimony of my identification with his body and his blood. This is so important, brothers and sisters.
The Leveled Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Leveled Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Leveled Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment. Wherever you are, whatever you speak, C-Tunes brings the gospel to you from English to Swahili, French to Arabic, Spanish to Hindi, Portuguese to Mandarin. The message of faith and salvation is breaking barriers. With C-Tunes, you gain access to over 250 leveled radio stations like Leveled Radio Iran, Leveled Radio Ukraine, Leveled Radio South Africa, Leveled Greece, and many more. Participate in every global ministry program in the language you best understand. Stay connected with motivational podcasts from our inspiring on-air personalities, and enjoy music that uplifts, inspires, and energizes. Log on to www.ctunes.org or download the app from the Leveled App Store. For further inquiries, please call +234-813-180-9663.
This is the continuation of the message Baptism, Communion, and the Church.
Hallelujah.
Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 15. Notice what it says here. From verse 15, I speak as the wise men. Judge ye what I say. Next verse. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You see that? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me show you some more. Look at this, verse 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. That is, he says, the Israel of the Old Testament, the natural, human natural Israel is referring to them now. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? Listen. That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles, the heathen, sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Oh. So if I'm eating with people who have made sacrifices to devils, even though I am not seeing the devils, I am having fellowship with devils. So, he says, he warns them. Verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. What is he teaching us here? It matters where we go. It matters where we go. And you find a Christian brother and a Christian sister. They have been Christians for a long time. Now they have a little bambino, and you carry that child, and what happens? They don't understand why his head is not standing on his shoulder. All the time. All the time. All the time. And then every once in a while when it looks like this, even they are scared. They know something is wrong with the child. But nothing is wrong with either of them. Because with their faith, they have been able to suppress demonic things in their lives. But they have had fellowship with demons. Now they have passed that devil to the child. And they're wondering, where did it come from? Where did it come from? He warned you. He warned you. If you as a brother, you marry a sister that has demons in her life, you're going to have fellowship with demons. Why you and the lady may not necessarily experience any serious or severe problems with demons, very likely, because demons have been here from the deadless past. They've been here. So they don't mind waiting. They don't mind waiting till children start coming before they start manifesting themselves. Because if they manifest themselves, they know you have faith. You send them away, so they are quiet. But all the time, you've been carrying them everywhere. And you notice something about yourself. Every once in a while, you are rebellious. The sign has been there. You just didn't know. Every once in a while, the pastor is preaching about something, you get angry. Mm-hmm. Why should he talk like that? Then you calm down again. You are nice again. Every once in a while, there's this manifestation, you know, of some bitterness in your life. Someone has wronged you. Every time you see him, you are upset. But because of God. Oh. Because of God. Because of God. You are doing because of God. So you are suppressing. You didn't forget. You are suppressing. So the demons are suppressed. But soon, they'll start showing up in your children. Very rebellious. And sometimes very wicked. And the demons can wait till the boy is 15 years old. They're nice until they grow up. Then you just hear, I don't want to come to church anymore. I just want to tell you I'm not a Christian. You say, what? He's not scared of you. Why? Because demons are there talking. He's not talking by himself. He has grown with these demons. Hatred for Christ. Hatred for the church. Hatred. And you might be making excuses for him. You know, the reason he hates the church is because, you know, the church has actually mistreated us. The church mistreated you. Your life changed when you came to the church. Now you say the church mistreated you. You know, the reason my son doesn't want to come to church is because what the pastor 3 years ago did to us, my son has not forgotten. How can he forget when the mother didn't forget? So I'm saying to you, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Careful. careful. Because when the enemy strikes, he's a strategist. He looks for the best way to destroy the most. He goes for the most number. If he knows that he can wait a little and take a whole lot of people, he'll rather wait than destroy one person and get in trouble. So he'll just wait. What you see, if you're following Jesus and his word and listening to the Holy Ghost, you will have a greater strategy than Satan could ever plan. You still with me? So, back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're in verse 25 now. 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Next. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Next. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, read, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So what? Next. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that. Examine yourself. All right. So it's something we do solemnly. We don't misbehave and act as if the communion doesn't matter. All right. You do it reverently. Next verse. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Here he's dealing with an unworthy manner, irreverently. When you're eating the communion, when we're serving the communion, do it reverently. Do it what? Reverently. Do it reverently. Otherwise, you're eating and drinking damnation, condemnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. We have a message titled for this course. You've got to listen to both teachings, the two parts. All right. Now, notice that last line, not discerning the Lord's body. Next verse. For this course, that's where we got the title from. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, die. For this course, many are weak. Weak. And sickly. There's some Christians that are sickly. They're coming in and out of one sickness or the other. They always have some complaints. Today is my back, tomorrow is my front, my shoulder, my leg, my hand. They always are, oh, my head. Sickly. Often coming from the hospital. Oh, I'm just coming from the clinic. The next time you meet them, I'm on my way to the clinic. I just returned from the clinic. I was on leave. What sick leave? I just came back. I'm traveling. Medical examination. I just arrived from London. I was there for 3 weeks. Their journey is just from hospital to hospital, medical attention all the time. Sickly among you. And they don't know why. Bible tells us there's a cause. They don't discern the body of Christ. Go and listen to that message.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. through him, and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.